Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Nava. My partner, Jesse Romero. We form a two-man car. We are 10-8, and we're here for you, for our listeners, to give you some intel, give you some briefing.
That's right.
Help strengthen
Catholic
you.
Catholic intel.
That's right. Good morning, Jesse.
Reporting for duty, sir. Hey, Ruben, I think today we're going to be able to make sense out of a lot of things that are happening right now with these rioters, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. I think a lot of people are saying, what's the origins of all of this? What's the genesis of all of this? I think after you hear two clips that we're going to play, we'll be able to discuss it, and you'll be able to really understand, now I know where this comes from. We want to play one clip first of all, and I'll let Richard know, our engineer, when we're ready in a minute or two. I want to play one clip from Malcolm X. Some people say, well, who's Malcolm X? He was a Muslim from the Nation of Islam, but let me tell you a little bit about him, okay? His father was a Baptist minister. His father was killed by the KKK. Malcolm X came from a large family. He became a gangster, got involved in robberies. Got busted eventually, went to prison. In prison, he discovered the Nation of Islam, the writings of the Nation of Islam by their leader called Elijah Muhammad. And so he embraces the Black Nation of Islam while in prison. When he gets out, he goes on a pilgrimage to Mecca, and there he converts to Sunni Islam, and he changes his name. Well, when he comes back to the States, he basically is looked at as an apostate by the Black Nation of Islam. And so Malcolm X had actually said that before he was assassinated, that Elijah Muhammad had put a hit on him, had ordered his death because, they saw each other as apostates. And number two, he also knew that Elijah Muhammad was the father of eight children by four teenage personal secretaries. And so Malcolm X was about to go public with this. But I want you to hear a speech. It's a very short speech from Malcolm X. And he talks about the way white liberals are dangerous. Yep, that's exactly what he says. He talks about the way white liberals are dangerous and that they just use low-information black people to advance their power. Mr. Engineer, can you play that clip?
The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor. And by winning the friendship and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game that is constantly raging between the white liberals and the white conservatives. The American Negro is nothing but a political football, and the white liberals control this ball through tricks or tokenism, false promises of integration and civil rights. In this game of deceiving and using the American Negro, the white liberals have complete cooperation of the Negro civil rights leader, who sell our people out for a few crumbs of token recognition, token gains, token progress.
Okay, I want you to hear now. Keep that intention. Keep that in your mind. We're going to go to another clip. It's a little bit longer. It's from Yuri Bezmenov. He's former KGB, and he explains how communists will infiltrate and have infiltrated America. This was already back in 1984. And when we put both these clips together, everything that's happening right now is going to make sense. Mr. Engineer, can you play that clip?
The Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion. What do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials. Economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense, an economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. Your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Lenin has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember most of these former Marxist-Leninists were either put to prison or one of them split, and now he's working against Sandinistas. It happened in Grenada when Maurice Bishop was already a Marxist. He was executed by a new Marxist who was more Marxist than this Marxist. Same happened in Afghanistan when first there was Taraki, he was killed by Amin, then Amin was killed by Babrak Karmal with the help of KGB. Same happened in Bangladesh when Mujibur Rahman, very pro-Soviet leftist, was assassinated by his own Marxist-Leninist military comrades. It's the same pattern everywhere. The time bomb is ticking. With every second, the disaster is coming closer and closer. Unlike myself, you will have nowhere to defect.
Wow. Hey, just to let the listeners know what the KGB is, because some people, it's been a while since they've been in power or they've been activated. It's the Committee for State Security. It was the secret police force for the Soviet Union from 1954 to 1991. And it was established under leadership of Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. And so it's no longer around, but I would imagine that they have their own type of CIA. This is kind of like that we have, and they have a lot of intelligence going on with them.
And Ruben, their ideas of demoralize a country, destabilize, cause crisis, and then bring normalization, it's already been implemented in many countries around the world. So communism, because of our failure to heed Fatima's warning, it's already been an infiltration.
Right.
We'll be back. Jesus 911, we're going to be talking about some local stuff that's happening in the Diocese of Los Angeles.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are LASD, leaving all sin destroyed.
Amen.
Love and sacrifice daily. Jesse, let's comment on this.
Yeah, I want to make a comment on the two clips that we heard. Malcolm X, who's long been dead and has gone to his judgment, and we're not saying that he's some kind of a saint. He had some horrible ideas. But what I am saying, I think that he was very spot on, Ruben, on his comments where he says, I mean, this is back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
The white liberals are deceitful, hypocritical, and essentially he says here, I'm looking, and by winning the support, the friendship, and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn of weapon in this political football game that's constantly raging. I'll give you an example of that right now. Black Lives Matter, which has nothing to do with race, it's a communist organization using the name Black Lives Matter. That way people are saying, hey, don't talk against them, you're a racist. Look at the bullets of what they espouse on their website. They espouse communism and LGBTQ agenda. So there are hundreds of companies right now, I would dare say, probably, you know, white conservative owners that are funding Black Lives Matter. This is exactly what Malcolm X said.
Out of pressure. Yeah.
Yeah, he said this 40 years ago. He's absolutely right.
Yep.
You're seeing it right now. You're seeing big corporations in this country. I have no doubt they're run by white people, Caucasian people. And God bless them for, you know, having that business mind. I'm not criticizing that. What I am criticizing is that they are supporting something evil with their money. I'm not begrudging them for being rich and for starting these big companies. That's what America is run by. That's a good thing. It creates jobs. But Malcolm X was right on when he said that white liberals support, use the American Negro, nothing as a political football through tricks of tokenism and false promises. That's all I wanted to say, because we're seeing it right now, what Malcolm X said.
Yeah, Jesse. And you can, when you hear like black conservatives that talk about it, that are not fooled by this game that the politicians have been playing, the white politicians have been playing. And
the white liberal politicians.
The liberal politicians, yeah. You know, you hear them, and they know the history of you know, the slavery. They know about the Jim Crow laws, and so not fooled by it. But we've had black politicians like President Obama who didn't do anything for the inner cities. They're still the same. They're even worse now, you know, than when he was. It was a melting pot, but it was ready to burst. There was a lot of violence going on during those 8 years that he was in power. And you'll hear conservatives saying, well, what did he do? What did he and Biden do during that time to help their own people out? And now they want to put it all on Trump. But you're right. I think, you know, Malcolm X was spot on when he was saying this back. This was during the 60s, like you said, during the civil rights movement. And he wasn't fooled by it. And it's 10 times worse now.
Yeah. And even somebody way before Malcolm X, Margaret Sanger, who herself, she was a racist.
Oh, yeah.
Eugenicist.
Not you down.
Exactly. I'm waiting for that. She actually said, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it's in one of her books. It's on the internet. She says that we have to exterminate the Negroes. She started what's called Extermination Negro Project. And then she says, but we have to use the educated Negro leader to promote abortion within the black community. So Margaret Sanger specifically said, we've got to go after the educated black Negro who most of them oftentimes, because of Marxist education, become liberals. People like Barack Obama, you know, for example, that's a classic case. You know, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. That's what she's talking about. We have to go after the educated Negro because, again, they're trained in liberal, you know, Marxist colleges here in this country so that they can promote abortion amongst the uneducated Negro. So that was way before even Malcolm X. But going back here to this KGB, former KGB, Yuri Bezmenov, Ruben, this is what we're seeing in America right now, even more so than any other time in our life. The 4 points of communism to take over a country. Let's take it micro. What's happening with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, these riots, and what they're trying to do? Demoralize the country, the mainstream media. Bad news every single day. Put on masks. Close down restaurants.
Fear.
You know, one crisis at fear. One crisis after another against President Trump. Russia, the gate, this gate, that gate. Demoralized. Bad news. Point number one. That's happening right now. Number two, then you destabilize a nation, their economy, their defense, and foreign relations. That's exactly what the Democrats have been doing ever since President Trump has been president. They've been going after the economy because he built the greatest economy in 60 years. So they want to destabilize the nation through the economy.
Yep.
Under Barack Obama, they destroyed the defense and our foreign relations. Now under Barack Obama, we were having these diplomatic relationships with communist and Islamic regimes. Point number three, crisis. That's the third thing that communism implements into a country. We've had one crisis after another ever since President Trump has been president, and they're all Democrat man-caused crises. And then four, as Yuri Bezmenov says, normalization. He says, quote, normalization, this is a Soviet propaganda word, and this is what will happen in the United States if you allow the leftists to bring crisis to this country. Ruben, you hear liberal governors in this country, California, New York, other places, saying, get used to it, masks, social distancing. This is the new normal.
Right.
And so when you look at what Yuri just said, this former KGB, this is exactly the Democrat playbook right now. We're seeing it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that plan is to create havoc with their police force, you know, to have us mistrust them and demonize them, so that they can bring in their own, you know, their own Gestapo to run things and put the good guys out, and we're seeing that now. So the guy was right.
All right, Ruben.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm done. That's all I want to say. Right. I just want to get off that my chest. But let's talk about local stuff in Los Angeles.
Right. So Jess, you know, this all started. I talked to you this weekend. You were in California. We had a chance to meet and sit down.
We had a burrito together.
Well, I'll tell you, Jess, I was pretty upset about the fire at the San Gabriel Mission and finding out about another fire in Florida at the church where a guy ran his car into the church and poured gas in there. And you know, I grew up at San Gabriel. I spent many days at the mission. My sisters went to the girls' Catholic school there, Mission High School. I went across the street to San Gabriel High School. It really hit home.
Oh, this is personal for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's my hometown, man. And it hurt me to the core. I was saddened by it and thoroughly angry. And, you know, so, but I think I had, it was righteous anger that it hasn't come out yet that it's been an arson, but, you know that I know that the local Native Americans in that region, Tongva, they've been dialoguing with them. So I can't put blame on anyone. We don't know if it was Antifa. We don't know if it was. It's just as a former cop, it's pretty suspicious. And even the local law enforcement that came out, San Gabriel Fire, San Gabriel Police. They came out and they said, you know, based on what's been going on around the nation with destruction of statues and churches, you know, you have to raise an eyebrow. And I'm hoping that they thoroughly investigate this. And we're asking that the bishop also to push for a thorough investigation and not just, you know, assume that it was caused by natural, because they were restoring the church. It was supposed to be reopened, but because of COVID, it hadn't. They wanted to have it completely restored by, you know, the 250th anniversary. This is a landmark. This was it was founded in 1771, even before our nation in 1776. So,
wow.
You know, this is the three phases that we're going through. You know, the tax on our images and our icons and symbols, and then they're attacking our churches and Christianity, and then it's going to come. They're going to start attacking us. So
that's right.
Those are the three phases that's going to happen. And so then when the governor came out with this lockdown again in California because of the spike in COVID, and mind you, the death mortality rate is going down. They're spiking up because more people are being tested.
We're testing people like we've never tested for any virus in the history of the human race.
Right. You know, yeah, exactly. 1.5 million people died of tuberculosis last year. And I don't remember having to put a mask on or a pandemic. We've had less.
We're getting tested for TB.
More people have died from the flu, the plain old flu than this so far. And yet we're shutting down the economy. We're putting people's lives in peril. Schools are shut down. And so when the governor came out and said this, and he said, we're going to lock down gyms, that hurt me. But then he said, we're going to lock down churches, you know, places of
worship.
That
hurt you more.
That hurt me even more. And I was livid, man. And so I started to kind of talking. And by the way, you know, Jess, you and I know that we get a lot of feedback from our listeners. We get emails and texts on social media, and people are reaching out to me saying, what are you going to do? What's the plan? Are you guys going to lead something? And I went to prayer, and I thought, well, you know what? Lord, I'm here. Here I am. If you want to use me as, you know, as a point man or a leader, I'm here for you. So, but then upon further reflection and about getting some perspective from some people I really respect, I said, this is only day one. Let's see what the bishops have, what they are going to do at this point. Because we saw the governor kind of run roughshod over us on the first lockdown. So I put together an 8-point plan that we'd like to, I'd like to just get some feedback on. And it just goes like this. We are going to respectfully request an audience with Bishop Gomez. You know, he's the president of the USCCB. We want to plead with him to hear the requests of the faithful, to be the shepherd that Jesus is calling him to be. And we want to be sympathetic and understanding, really realizing that this is day one of the second day of the second closure. And I just got word from Terry before we went on that they're going to allow mass outside. So that's something different than
praise God. That, thank you, Jesus.
You know, they're allowing restaurants to be open if they had an outside eating area. So why not the churches? And I know my wife went to her gym has a. It's like a box, that, you know, a CrossFit gym. So they have an outside section, so they're going to allow them to stay open. So it makes total sense. Why not allow the churches to be open? Now, I don't see any reason why we can't be open inside our edifices, but this is a start. So anyway, we'll go over this on the second, on the next other side of the break. You're listening to Jesus 911.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing at least and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are the DOJ, Disciples of Jesus.
And, amen.
We're talking about my seven-point plan to talk with the Bishop of L.A. He's the president of the USCCB. He takes many of the bishops take their marching orders, but pretty much they kind of are in lockstep, and they look to him as this is the main the hub of California. So we want to do I know Terry's already talking about this, hold a prayer vigil and a rosary crusade to pray for our bishops, pray for Bishop Gomez and all the shepherds of the Catholic Church. Pray for the virtues of wisdom and fortitude and charity towards their flock. And then, if we don't get an audience, we don't get a response, maybe we can peacefully protest. You've heard that word before.
Well, that's what we Catholics usually do. They're peaceful, Reuben. It's the other side that has violent protests.
Absolutely. So attempting to get a permit to do so that we're not, pushed out of there, because you can... peacefully assemble at maybe at the Cathedral of L.A. We're requesting him to push back on this tyrannical governor's orders dictating how houses of worship, specifically the Catholic Church, have been ordered closed. And we believe in our Constitution, the right of freedom of religion, the freedom to assemble, and then. It's clear. There's a clear delineation in this country between separation of church and state. And then we're asking for the shepherd to denounce the destructive behavior of the anarchists who are hell bent on destroying our statues and churches. In no uncertain terms, call their actions what they are: criminal and grave sins requiring repentance. I haven't heard that come out from them yet. I've missed it. I haven't heard from some of our shepherds.
Me neither, Reuben. So I'm pretty closely following all this news.
Okay, and so I'm also we're looking for shepherds to lead us from the front. Okay, ask them to conduct deliverance prayers, or as in the case of Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, perform an exorcism using the old rite in Latin on the grounds of these holy sites. We will protect our priests and our bishops with our lives, if necessary. That's what we do. We're not going to put them in harm's way. We're going to, we're there to...
We'll put our bodies in front.
Absolutely. Our sixth point is, if these points are not met, down the road, then we'll have to forge on and invoke media outlets such as, radio stations, podcasts, Catholic periodicals, and social media, like i.e. Facebook, Twitter, if they don't ban us, right? They're quick to censor us. YouTube, perhaps, to make our intentions known. Under no uncertain terms will we give in to this tyranny, and if we need to, we'll resort to the catacombs if necessary to receive the Mass and the sacraments. Now, when I wrote this, I hadn't been told that they're going to allow outside Masses. So, anyway,
that changes things a little bit.
It does, yeah, it does. So, the other thing is that I've been involved in the signing the petition to get Governor Newsom impeached. So we need Catholics and Christians of goodwill to help us in this endeavor. Make every attempt to meet with local law enforcement, chiefs of police, and the county sheriffs. I have contacts that's still in those areas. I want to implore them to not enforce this communist dictator's unjust law of closing places of worship. Just like when the governor asked that the beaches be closed, and several sheriffs and chiefs said they would not enforce the closure. I know our sheriff here, Sheriff Villanueva, said he would not enforce the closure at Malibu State Beach. Some others have said they would not enforce the mask law. So this is the same governor who's about to get this. Where's the logic? He's about to release 8,000 inmates from state prisons while threatening to arrest violators of social distancing or not wearing masks. And at the same time, defunding the police. What,
Ruben? This is an upside down world. This is what Isaiah calls a society that calls right wrong and wrong right, good evil and evil good, black white and white black.
Yep. Yeah. So hey, you know, we're open to taking phone calls. If someone wants to call in, give us their express what they're feeling. We'd like to address it. So
888-526-2151 888-526-2151. Call us up. What should we do in Los Angeles, here in California?
Yep. I think we'll love to hear from you. And so, we've got to pray. We've got a guy on, it looks like the engineer's telling us we have a caller. Okay, put him on. Good morning, Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesse Rubin. Good morning.
Good morning, my friend.
Thoughts, comments?
Yeah, what you got?
Well, no, first of all, we need as a Catholic faith and Catholic men, we need to hold a lot of prayer for our clergy. That's number one, and for us as a nation.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to say my name, but I've been on the job for about 16 years now with the law enforcement agency in LA, and like you guys, I want to be 10-8. Hopefully I don't draw a one-man car, but what I wanted to share was, with respect with our bishops, we got to look at them as, maybe a captain of a station or a deputy chief of a region or area. And us being the frontline officers, let's say we have a situation where we have a man with a gun or we need to go serve a search warrant. And, sometimes they need our insight and our patrol experience to come to the table and say, hey, Cap, or hey, Chief, maybe we should approach this situation with a tactical safety with the officers and the community that surrounds it. And a lot of times our captains and deputy chiefs, they may not have the experience from the patrol officers. And so, getting the insight from the people that had the patrol experience
doing it,
on how to go about it, and on a private setting in the station somewhere where they could sit down and address the concerns. We have to understand that our bishops and like our clergy and our higher ups in the departments, they're under a lot of stress and they have dedicated their lives to. Maybe they haven't ever experienced a situation like this. And so getting the insight from your frontline troops and your senior officers on how to go about this volatile situation that we're facing with the destruction of our churches and our statues, which, by the way, it also hurts me deeply because, seeing the statues go down like that really, hurts a lot. So,
yep.
You, Jesse, and Ruben can meet with our Catholic and other Catholic leaders can meet with our beloved shepherd and address the certain issues and things and how we can go about them.
Outstanding points, my brother. Thank you.
Great comments.
We've got a lot of callers, but you make an excellent point. I know that they're under a lot of stress. And none of us have dealt with this. This is new. This lockdown. So, thank you for your call. Thank you for being a listener.
Be safe out there, brother.
Be safe.
Thank you for your work.
Will do. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Bless you.
Okay, we got a couple other callers.
We got somebody on line two. Go ahead. You're on line two. Go.
Hello.
Hello.
Jesse Rubin.
Hey.
Hey.
Who are we speaking?
Comments. Thoughts. Call. Questions.
Yeah, my name is Steve.
Okay, Steve.
And I'm in law enforcement, been for a few years. And I just wanted to say, I totally agree with the previous caller. He made some really good points. You know, we need to pray for our bishops, pray for the Holy Father. We need to pray for all those in holy orders. But we also need to do something about what's going on. We need to proceed prayerfully, and we need to ask for the Lord to help us out. You know, I do a little bit of pro-life work, and I understood early on that it wasn't how many people you had showing up, how many signs you had, how many banners, nothing like that. It's about the prayer, and I just see it from the spiritual point of view completely, that that's how we need to approach this. You know, we're not trying to put anybody on blast, but it's really great to see when you have a shepherd that goes out. For instance, one of my favorite bishops, Salvatore Corleone from San Francisco. What a great Amen. Bishop. You know, he does have the heart of a lion, right, Corleone?
Yeah, sure does.
And he gets out there, and after they toppled the statue of San Junipero Serra, he went out and did an act of reparation, and he got some people together, and they prayed the rosary at the site.
Yeah.
Wow.
Performed an exorcism.
How powerful is that? Exactly. An exorcism, exactly, probably what we need more than anything right about now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's great to see that when we have a shepherd out there leading the flock and not turning tables on the flock and saying, no, you should be doing this. Right. I'm going to sit in my office.
Would you agree that, I mean, in addition to prayer, that at some point we have to start taking action? Do we have to put some feet to our faith?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's the main thing is, you know, we pray, but at some point someone has to do something. Someone has to man the parapet, so to speak, mm-hmm. you know, and we have to, you know, stand up to those incoming arrows, those darts of the enemy, right?
Right.
But, you know, we do it with prayer and with the armor of God. And, you know, we do that by praying all those the morning prayers, our prayers with our family, evening prayers. You know, read Jesse's book on how to protect your family with prayer. And,
right.
you know, there's so much information that you can get out there. And it's for free on the Internet.
Yeah.
You know, there's no excuse.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. We've got some other callers. I really appreciate that,
no
Steve.
Problem.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
God bless you, brother.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Go ahead, Jess.
We've got somebody else. Line one, Victor Marufo. Victor, you're on. Go.
Hey, how's it going there, Ruben?
We're blessed, brother.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm just really upset. I heard your story earlier, Ruben, and mm-hmm. I was really upset, too, what happened this past weekend at the San Gabriel Mission. And, you know, you get angry, and it's like, man, enough's enough. Yeah. You want to start fighting back, but I'm with you, Ruben, whatever you have. It's funny how all this happened, and for some reason—
Victor, stay on line. Victor, stay on the line. We want to continue with this conversation. You're listening to Jesus 911. Two-man car, Nava and Romero will be right back talking about what should we do in California against this tyrannical governor. Call up 888-526-2151. We want to hear from you.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, where iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Just, I want to pray this prayer for freedom from vengeance. So it's just it's a short prayer. It's just, Father Richard Heilman put this on his website. Let freedom ring, freedom from vengeance. Let my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at a word from you, the devil and his minions flee in terror. You are the source of all truth. You are the source of all strength. By the power of your cross and resurrection, we beseech you, O Lord, to extend your saving arm and to send your holy angels to defend us as we do battle with Satan and his demonic forces. Exercise, we pray, that which oppresses your bride, the church, so that within ourselves, our families, our parishes, our dioceses, and our nation, we may turn fully back to you in fidelity and trust. Lord, we know it will. We know if you will it, it will be done. Give us the perseverance for this mission, we pray. Amen. Nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
And Ruben, we had any phone calls? Call us up, 888-526-2151. 888-526-2151. If you want to chime in, what should we do as Catholics?
We have a listener that was calling.
Right, yeah.
Go ahead.
Put him back on.
Okay. You're back.
Hello, could you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going there, Jesse, Ruben? I was just calling in regards to what happened this weekend, Ruben. I was sick to my stomach, and, you know, like you said, you get angry, and you don't know where to turn but to prayer. I mean, that there's really nothing else. But if you lead some type of march or anything, Ruben, I just want to let you know I stand with you. I live in Southern California. I live in Chino. I have a lot of cousins, friends that are willing to follow you, do whatever you have planned, man. And it's funny how the Holy Spirit, Jesus, works in this. I've never thought of social media. For whatever reason, I never liked it. I never cared for it. Mm-hmm. And as I'm reading all this, what was going on with the church, something just clicked in my mind to start Instagram. So my daughter got Instagram for me. She set me all up, and she goes, "Dad, are you going to go private or open?" I go, "No, I want everybody to see what I have to be posting." So I'm going to be posting nothing but beautiful artwork,
Christ-centered
messages,
stuff.
Quotes, Christ-centered stuff, family, loving-centered stuff. And you know, I just want it open. It's V Marufo 21. If you and Jesse want to get in touch with me that way. But, this is getting ridiculous, Ruben.
Yeah.
And it's time, you know, not just talking. It's time to start doing something about it.
Absolutely.
And, just let us know, man. Keep us informed, Ruben.
We sure will.
Absolutely.
And Jesse,
yep.
You guys take care. And I appreciate everything you guys are doing, man.
Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening. All right.
Ruben, we got some good people out there. Out there in the West Coast. And, prayerfully, we're going to discern very shortly what steps we need to take. But I think that 7-bullet plan was very good. I think you took a deep breath and you wrote it down and you said, okay, let me exercise some prudence here.
Right.
And I commend you for that 7-point plan.
Just we got two more callers.
Yeah, Gus Navarre is Gus. You're on. Go.
Oh,
Gus,
wow.
You're on.
Go ahead.
You're on, Gus.
Turn down your radio.
Oh, heck. Okay, hold on a second. Hey, I was calling because, let me turn this off. I was calling because, okay, I'm female. I volunteer at a store, and, you know, a lot of the people that are there, you know, we talk about this and we get excited and heated, not heated, mad at each other, but, you know, we're passionate about what's going on. And it's like, am I in the wrong if I'm not quiet and reserved about it? Because I don't know, maybe I'm just another, I don't know. I'm not passive. I can't hold back and not say anything. I'm very forward about our faith and what's going on. And I don't know, sometimes maybe I'm just talking out of emotions. But, you know, it's like I'm separate from the people that I work with because a lot of them don't like listening to Jesse. But then another friend of mine says that it's because, and I know why though, because and she says they're not convicted. That's why. And then one lady tried to tell me that Jesse was wrong, and I said why? Because he's not soft spoken, and I said not everybody's brought up in the same environment, and one can't understand one environment of the other. Say, like, there's a lot of people that didn't grow up in loving homes and didn't have supportive families. So
they're saying Jesse uses, you know, his big boy's voice, huh?
I don't mind it, and I don't care, you know, because that's, like, he's honest.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he's my big brother, so I open my mouth about it. And you know what? I think God gave me this mouth for a reason, but sometimes it scares me because I get myself in trouble.
Yeah, well, we're called to, you know, instruct the ignorant and admonish the sinner.
That's right.
Jesse, you have any comments?
Yeah, that's basic Catholic teaching. It's called, known as the spiritual works of mercy. Mm-hmm. Admonish the sinner, counsel the doubtful. The Bible tells us, speak the truth in charity. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in charity. Our Lord says in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Matthew's gospel, our Lord says that we have to proclaim the gospel from the housetops. And so it's not popular. It's not popular to talk about truth. People just feel very comfortable living in the world of moral relativism and living in the world of gray. Well, gray is the devil's color. We see the world, it's right and wrong. We don't see the world through race. We see the world through grace. And things are either right or things are wrong.
I'm so sick of the race card, Jesse, like on the Hispanic side. You know, they're always, with their, what is that, Chicano power? Because my older sister was all into that. Mm-hmm. And her mindset hasn't gone beyond that. But another thing, too. You know, I invoke the Holy Spirit, and I've been retaining a lot. And, you know, when I talk to people, like, some stuff comes out, and it's like, I remember what you say. You know, you got to get your house in order before you, like, say anything. But,
Amen.
Like, is that fine that I still, even what I learn, I just share it? Because what good is it for me to keep it to myself, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, by the way, that verse about the house... That's actually in context. It's talking about the bishops in Timothy. The bishop has to have his house in order.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's talking about the overseers. But it's also talking about, on a secondary level, that verse is also talking about fathers of the domestic church, of a family. You have to have your house in order before you go out and try to fix somebody else's house. So it applies to fathers and bishops.
I just got to say that, you know, God's still working on me.
Absolutely.
You know,
on all of us.
On all of us.
Hey, thank you. We got one more caller. Thank you so much for calling in and being a listener.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Liz in the Valley.
Okay, Liz.
Thank you, Liz. God bless you.
Bye.
Who's up next? Jesse?
We got somebody on the air. I don't know. There's no name. Line 2. Line 2, you're on. Go ahead. Go.
Line 2, yes. Good morning, Jesse and Ruben. Good morning. You guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Who's speaking to?
This is Victor. I just want to agree with most of the callers that were calling in have already talked about what I was going to say. But I want to take it probably a step further. This governor here in California, I really believe he needs an exorcism done. And
yeah. Amen. Guys, I agree.
You guys know exorcists. I don't know if they're willing to do it like on their own, but this guy really needs an exorcism. There's no way he's going to be releasing prisoners and making room for us that aren't wearing a mask to go into jail. Right. This stuff is ridiculous. This guy, this stuff's getting out of control. Now our policemen are criminals, and the criminals are the ones in the right. This is retarded.
Yeah.
Jesse, I know that the strongest form of prayer that to do is like in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
Do you have any prayers that you have in mind that we can do as your listeners in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Because I think that's something we all have to rise up in prayer.
But yeah.
What prayers do you recommend?
Here's what I would recommend. If you go to the website Auxilium Christianorum, auxiliumchristianorum.org, and it's also in my book. Those are prayers. Those are called binding prayers. Yeah, it's on page 117 of my book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle.
Okay.
Those are binding prayers written by four of the top exorcists in this country, and they're written for lay people. Those prayers, binding prayers, means you're able to tie up a demon like in handcuffs. That's what it means to bind. And so those are Catholic deliverance binding prayers. I think if everybody would start praying those binding prayers and focus their thoughts on Governor Newsom and some of the Democrats in California that are causing all this, because without a doubt, because they live in mortal sin, they attract evil spirits. And the only way to give them mental clarity is to do binding prayers, even mentioning their name, and also praying for their conversion. A good prayer to pray for their conversion would be the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, to pray for the conversion of all the Democrat politicians in California and in New York. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy on your knees every single day for our politicians, that they would think with the eyes of the gospel of Jesus Christ and get moral clarity.
Amen. And our engineer just posted up the, if you need to know how to spell it, Auxilium Christianorum, if you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube. There's the link right there to what Jesse's talking about. Thank you for calling in, Victor. Thank you for being a listener.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Okay.
Hey, Jesse, it's been great hearing from our listeners. We haven't done that in a while.
Well, we'll have to do that more often because they want to vent a lot, and I get it. We got Joseph on line one. Go ahead, Joseph.
We got about 30 seconds, Joseph.
Go, Joseph.
Yes, you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go.
Good.
Okay. Yes, we need to act.
Yeah.
We need to act. And I want to say this. If someone had a knife to your wife's throat, would you kneel down and pray, or would you act? For women, if someone had a knife to your baby's throat, would you just kneel down and pray, or would you act? Of course we need to pray. We need to pray hard, but we need to act.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly.
That's what St. James the Apostle says, faith and works. You need both. And that's not one or the other. It's both and.
Okay.
Good comment.
Good comment.
Ruben, take it away.
Hey, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Jesus 911. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate your loyalty to listening to us. And share this video. Share this podcast. And,
yep.
And get the word out. We need a stronger band of brothers. And you men, you've got to organize in your churches. Get small groups, defend your churches,
yes,
prayer groups, but also men of Minutemen of action, as our last caller just mentioned.
So, up next, hey, Gary Machuda's up next. Hands-on apologetics. See you tomorrow. Same Christ time, same Christ channel.
Amen. God bless. Keep the faith. We're out. 10-7.
10-7. Out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.